And I do hope that that answer about forgiveness is helpful. And now let's move on to the last question we'll have time for today on Answers from the Book. And it's this: why didn't Jesus have a wife or kids? Now that's a very interesting and unusual question. Let's look at a few scripture verses that might speak to that question. Now when questioned before Pilate as to his being the king of the Jews, the Lord answered Pilate in John 18:36-37. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." The Lord Jesus had a specific purpose in coming to the earth. It was to provide salvation to sinful people. The Lord's birth shows the humanity that he had, and his coming to the earth shows his eternal existence before his birth. In his remarks to Pilate, the Lord Jesus spoke of both. His purpose was to witness to the truth of who he is. Of course, Christ Jesus is the truth. As we read in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He also speaks of the word of God being truth. As we read in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now let's look at the words of the Apostle Paul concerning marriage in 1 Corinthians 7:7-8, which says, "For I would that all men were even as myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide, even as I." Paul never married, although he had a right to be married, as he wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:5, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" Paul gave his entire life in service to the Lord. He did not have time to consider settling down with a wife and family. He indicated that it would be best if all men were like him, so that they might serve the Lord more freely. Now, it's not that the Lord is against marriage. No, he created the institution of marriage in the Garden of Eden. We know that the Apostle Peter was married. But to the one who would give his entire life to serving the Lord, there is more freedom for the single man. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 7:32-33, "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he might please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." The Lord Jesus gave himself fully to doing his Father's will. He was not sent to marry and raise a family. He was sent to be the Savior of the world, as we read in 1 John 4:14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And as someone who is divine, or who is God, we can see that it would be terribly wrong for the Lord Jesus to marry and mate with a woman. The theological consequences would be incredible. If Jesus had a son, would that son be half human and half God? Would his son's son be three-quarters human and one-fourth God? I'm sure we can all recognize the absurdity in this. Now, with all that said, we do know that one day there will be a wedding and Christ will marry his bride. Who is this bride of Christ? Paul writes to the church in 2 Corinthians 11:2, saying, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." He writes to the church in Ephesians 5:25-27, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish." It is the church that is the body of Christ. Who is part of this church? Let's read Acts 2:46-47, which says, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, in breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." It is by being saved that we are added to the church. Now you can join any church that you choose, but without being saved, you are not in the true church, which is the body of Christ. As we read in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, where we read that God hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In a future day, the Lord will take his bride for himself, and there will be a great wedding feast, as we read in Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Will you be part of this wedding feast? Are you part of the bride of Christ? Are you in the true church? Are you saved? Acts 4:12 says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you have never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, won't you do it now before it's eternally too late?